Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to be with you all again, and certainly on behalf of Elaine and myself, appreciate all of the wonderful prayers that we felt very definitely, especially while she was there in the hospital and the time we spent there. And it's just absolutely kind of blown my mind away. They were telling us it'd take her months to recover, and it's been weeks, and it's just such a blessing to us. If you'd want to turn to the ninth chapter of the book of Job, I'd like to look at that just for a little bit.
Brother Vic, before you read the scripture, I ask you and Brother Bryce, don't shake the pulpit too much because all of those recording devices
okay.
are precarious.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. That hadn't hurt me a minute. So, all right. Ninth chapter. And let's start at the 30th verse and go down through the 33rd. Job 9:30. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. I've been doing kind of a series on the names or the titles of Jesus. And thou shalt call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. As you go on, the bright and morning star, the day star. And here we find what I believe is a title of Christ, and that is the idea of a daysman. So let's see how that works here with Job. Job had some things to learn as he went along, and he's talking to his friends. They've been chatting with him and trying to say, Job, you've messed up, and you've got a sin, you've got problems. And he's talking back, and he says there in verse 30, if I wash myself with snow water. You know, here in the south, southeast, I've lived here 40-some years now, and the beautiful snow falls. It's just straight down. Very seldom you have wind. And that water from snow just seems pure and clean. From out west, Brother Bryce might understand a little bit of it. Where we come from, it don't snow like this most of the time. It snows like this. There's 60-mile-an-hour wind behind it. And you go out and look in the drift, and the saying is clean as or as pure as the wind-driven snow. There's streaks of dirt in that. Or orange. Well, ours is black, but yours is orange. I thought about that. It's funny. So, but anyway, the idea is here, going to take the cleanest water that you can get. Maybe we'd talk about distilled water or purified water. And we're going to take it. And Job's going to take it. And if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean. I love the King James. You know, that seems backwards to us to say never so clean. What he's saying is, my hands, if I wash them with this water, they've never, ever been so clean. It's just, I'm going to scrub them up. I'm using Gojo. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have a lot of that at home. Mama taught us to use Tide and a scrub brush. And you can get the grease out of the cracks if you work at it. You know what I'm saying? Job's saying, I'm getting my hands never, they've never been so clean. Ever. Never been so clean. If I wash myself with snow water and my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch. Ditches in America are fairly nice things. There's some ditches around that maybe are a little steep or a little muddy. Maybe not. Maybe they've been washed out from a large rain or whatever. But most times, especially along interstates, my goodness, there's nice as a lot of folks' front yard. You know what I mean? It's just little swales. They're green. They mow them. Beautiful. Is God plunging Jonah, Job in that ditch? Now he's talking about ditches in the scriptures were something completely different. They didn't have refrigeration in scriptural and Bible times. They didn't have disposal, garbage disposals in the kitchen sink in those days. Not only that, they didn't have Piggly Wiggly and Publix to go pick up your fresh fruits and vegetables and your meats already prepared and deboned and all of those things. Why, when I've done hunting deer, you know, you get your deer and you got to field dress it. I usually left it out there in the woods. And then you drag it home and finish cleaning and dressing it. But you've got bones and hide, fat, not so much deer, but if you do a cow or a pig, you've just got things to get rid of. I usually run back out in the woods where I was hunting. The farmer or whoever's land I was on didn't mind. And the wild coyotes or whatever get it. But that's just a few folks doing something like that. Well, there at Jerusalem, my goodness, 1 million, 2 million people in one spot. And all this is going on. Where do they get rid of it? What's in this ditch? They dug pits and ditches. And that's where the refuse went. I mean, this was maggots, green blowflies. What else nasty we want to think of? You know what I'm saying? It's probably when it rained. Wouldn't that even be nice? It's nasty. And here's saying, I'm going to wash myself up, Lord, if I did, as clean as I can get myself. In other words, Job's saying, I'm stopped sinning. If I could just stop, totally stop sinning. We're still sinners. I could stop sinning. Let's just say for the moment, just say, or yourself, that I'm not going to sin anymore. Done sinning. And you can do that. I mean, I'm not saying we can. I'm just hypothetically say you're just going to quit sinning. What are you going to do with your sin nature? It's corrupt. It's rotten to the core. You're still putrid in God's sight. And Job's saying, if I wash myself with snow water, clean myself up, I've never been so clean. Yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch. This isn't like going over the edge and go, whoop. Get rid of this stinky thing. Plunge it. You get the picture? Do you feel the idea of what's going on here? Can you feel it? Can you see it? Can you smell it? I want you to get that. That's who we are. We're so nasty that the best thing we can do, God's just not even just going to go tip us over into it and be done with it. Get rid of this. It stinks. It's yuck. Plunge me in the ditch. And mine own clothes shall abhor me. That's an interesting thought. Job's had these boils from top of his head to the bottom of his feet, save the skin of his teeth, just his gums. Otherwise, he's got boils. I assume that means on the inside of his lips, you know, just in his ears. And he took a piece of broken pottery. Makes me think of the old clay pots my mama grew geraniums in. Some of the ladies still use them these days for their flower beds, whatever. And he's scraping his skin with those boils and the pus. It's vivid, isn't it?
Yeah.
His clothes are abhorring him, aren't they? His own clothes sticking to him. And my own clothes abhor me. There's no hope. There's just no hope. If you get this much glimpse of your depravity, it's what you're going to see of yourself. If God blesses that. As Brother Don Fair said, and I like the saying, and I'll keep saying it, total depravity keeps you from seeing total depravity. It don't want you to see how nasty you are. Total depravity wants you to think, oh, Victor's a pretty good boy. He's done well. He's done this. You see, we all are that way. Every fiber of your being is bad, nasty. Every fiber of your being is going to be full of pride and wants to lift itself up. But Job knows here, if I wash myself, I'm not clean. He's going to plunge me in the ditch, and even mine own clothes abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, and I shall not answer him, and we shall and we should come together in judgment. What he's saying is there's a Job's saying that we've got a disparity here between God, the righteous, and me, a sinner. There's a disparity. And God's not as a man that we can just come up and God say, hey, you know, you kind of messed up there. You put a little too much salt on the brisket, you know, and next time we do this, and we can come together in judgment. It's not what's going on. Job's finding out, and Job knows God is God, sovereign. And there's no way we're going to come together as a man, as men to men, and talk something out or a problem, and that we should, and I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. In the South, we say, it ain't happening. It's just not going to be. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us. Here we are with King James again, and betwixt. I love those different words and things like that. It just means between us. There's not a daysman between us. Well, what's a daysman? A daysman is kind of like what it'd be, hire a lawyer for a day or hire a judge for a day. Maybe that's more what it would be. There's times in the past when we'd have different folks in the area, and if you needed a job, you'd go over and get what we called a day laborer. And this is a day laborer, only it's in judgment. So you have two individuals in the scriptures, and these guys may have got so heated in their friction between each other and their disagreement that they're not going to even come into the same room with each other, and they need somehow to reconcile the situation, and you hire a judge for a day. And it's called a daysman. That's just, it's not very difficult to see. And he says here, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Lay his hand upon us both. I used to work in the termite industry. I worked for the, really not in the industry, I worked in the governing part of it, and with the Georgia Department of Agriculture. And it wasn't so much that the state of Georgia's job was to determine if somebody had termites in their house or not, but it was to determine, was the treatment done by the exterminating company meet the minimum standards? You know, I'd meet some of these guys, and they're like, man, we did all this work. I said, yeah, but you didn't get to the minimum standard. You can go above the minimum standard. There's no problem with that. Just get it to the minimum standard, you know, and we'd go out and do those things and whatever. And every now and then, and of course, me being with the Department of Ag, and I'm supposed to be impartial and tried to be as much as I could, and there'd be a disagreement between the homeowner and the exterminator, all right? A lot of times in those contracts that would have with the damaged contracts, it would say something like this: in the lieu of having with a disagreement and going to a court by jury or disagreement to be settled by jury, the exterminator is having the homeowner sign away his rights as far as a jury trial to determine a disagreement, and that there would be a mediator. Same thing here. It's a mediator. It's one in between. And you would, whatever, and it say some kind of language in there, something about that you would abide by whatever the mediator said. That's what it would be. Well, here's Mr. Homeowner over here. And I've got my house is getting eaten up with termites. And there's a mediator. Do I want the mediator to be somebody that's never owned their own home? Do I want the mediator to be somebody that's always rented and lived in a 14th floor townhouse that the termites can't even get up to that part of the building? No, I want somebody that has had a homeowner, that's owned a home, and I want somebody that maybe has even had some experience with termites in his house. Now you get over here with the exterminator, and the exterminator wants the mediator to have some kind of experience with treating a house for termites. It's not easy. I helped out here when they was doing the addition out here, and we did some work on the lunchroom out there and did some treatments with it. But you want the exterminator wants the mediator to have some kind of experience about what it takes to treat a house. And they both want to be fairly represented. And that becomes the mediator or the daysman. It's not complicated. Y'all are smart. Y'all already know where I'm going. I could sit down, I reckon, but I won't. Not for a minute. But Job's saying, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand on us both. Mm-hmm. Lay a hand on God and lay a hand. Job sees the disparity. Do you all feel the disparity sometimes in your own soul? That who I am, and I've sinned again before the Lord, and I need somebody. Well, we have an advantage. We have the New Testament. We can see. But Job is, he's got some things to learn. You know what I'm saying? At this point, Job doesn't see a mediator. Job sees God as the august judgment God. I think part of the experience that Job's going to have through these chapters is to learn about something else. To learn maybe there is a daysman. Maybe there is a mediator between God and man. Oh, well, that sure turns out to be a first, doesn't it? the man, Christ Jesus. Doesn't it go something like that? Let's turn over to Job 19. And I'll be done here in a few minutes, Brother Bryce. Job 19:25. Beautiful language. For I know. Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now I realize that isn't talking about a daysman between us, and yet, what's a redeemer? It's got somebody that's holding something captive, and somebody else, you know, we got a disparity. I know, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer knows the price that has to be paid. My Redeemer is willing to pay the price I can't pay. My Redeemer is able to stand betwixt us. My Redeemer is able to touch us both. Jesus was a man. He had to become a man. That's, you know, I've heard that all my life. But it was just up here, you know, rattling around maybe like a ball in a pinball machine, just that idea. He's a man, incarnate, whatever. Seems like lately it's sunk a little bit to where I understand more and feel and realize he understood before the foundation of the world in that time of the great, the eternal covenant, as the deity God understood our condition, but he couldn't feel our condition. He hadn't experienced it. Neither could he die. He's deity. He couldn't stand in between. He couldn't be betwixt because he wasn't a man. He had to come to earth. He had to become a man. There's no other way. And he became a little tiny. I mean, this is so wild, folks. Can you imagine? The God of the universe, I'm going to say, but I think he's bigger than that. I personally think the universe is finite. I think in my own mind, I give you my ideas, it doesn't matter. It amounts to about yay much. But in my little thinking, if we could possibly, I doubt if I ever can, build a ship, spaceship good enough, we could fly to the edge of the universe. I think there's an end to it out there somewhere. It looks forever, but, and I've got, like I say, got some Bible thoughts on it, it doesn't matter. But I think God's outside the universe. What do y'all think? Yeah. I do. I don't think he's bound within his own creation, do you? No. That God that helped create it all became a little speck, physical, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Seriously? Have you ever thought of that? And became a little embryo in a few days, a little larger. The God of the universe, becoming man, experienced childbirth, was a baby crying for a wet diaper, if they had diapers then. I don't know what they used. Hungry, need to nurse. Became an adolescent. Became a teenager. You ever thought about, you know, I remember seeing a bumper sticker years ago, hire a teenager while they still know it all. Here's a teenager that knew it all. He couldn't have done that if he hadn't become. He had to experience what we experience. He had to be a man to be the proper mediator, to be the daysman that can touch us. And Job, by the end of his life, saw Jesus Christ. I know, I know, I know. He couldn't have made it better. He said he wanted it written. How was that? That they, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, they were printed in a book. This guy's shouting hallelujah.
Yeah.
He's outside. He ain't inside. He's outside shouting. And that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know my Redeemer lives. He found a mediator. Oh, joy to us when we find our mediator. Have you been in the deep parts of your soul and just stressed out and discouraged and see your sin? And then the Lord just floods into your soul and I've handled it. I've cared for it. I've paid for it. It's done. You're clean. You're clear. I wish I had more moments like that when you could rejoice with the Lord in that way. Oh, that we had a mediator, or that we had a daysman betwixt us, and we do. Jesus Christ the Lord. God bless you all. Come ahead, brother.
Amen.